Tuesday morning, you're tuning in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM inside of Montreal. On this week's episode, it is 5:13, an anniversary review of Come and See, celebrating its 40th anniversary from 1985. After DVD Tuesday for November the 11th, we have a bunch of physical releases, so let's get to it. Darren Aronofsky, starring Austin Butler, caught stealing, wraps out onto a physical media release. Downton Abbey, the grand finale, arrives out onto a physical media release. We will be giving away some copies of Downton Abbey, the grand finale, so check out our Instagram page for further details. Freakier Friday, starring Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan, arrives out onto a physical media release, streaming soon onto Disney+. Him arrives out onto a physical media release. The Naked Gun, starring Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson, arrives out onto a physical media release. The list continues here. We got Spinal Tap, The End Continues, arriving out onto a physical media release. You also have the film Together. This one stars Alison Brie and Dave Franco. This one arrives out onto a physical media release. Let us now get to some music to get your morning started here. I have Fencing with their track IMAX off of the album Fencing Wikipedia. Then we're going to hear Funeral Lakes with their track No More Cowboys off of the album Mountains Turn to Dust. And then finally, Lily Allen with West End Girl. You are tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal.
Thank you. I am wild, I'm lonesome, I'm 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 wild, I'm lonesome.
So we went ahead and we bought it. Found ourselves a good mortgage. Then we couldn't go sorted. All the furniture ordered. I could never afford this. You were pushing it forward. Made me feel a bit awkward. Made me feel a bit awkward. I woke up the stoop. I put the key in the door. And then my phone started ringing. So I answered the call. And they were like, hey, you got the lead in a play. You gotta be back in London for rehearsals in May. And later that evening you said, how was my day? I said, I got some good news, I got the lead in a play. And that's when your demeanor started to change. You said, I'd have to audition. I said, you're deranged. And I thought that was quite strange. And I thought that was quite strange.
Yeah. me feel great.
At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on Sigello 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. We get to some new scores and soundtracks. So we're going to hear Jeremiah Freights with Boardwalk from Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere. And then we're going to hear Volker Bertelmann with White House from A House of Dynamite. You are tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on Sigello 1690 AM here in Montreal. My name is Remy. Volker Bertelmann there with the track White House from A House of Dynamite, the new film from Catherine Bigelow, now on to Netflix. So up next we're going to hear Graham Reynolds with Blue Moon off of the same titled film from the film Blue Moon, starring Ethan Hawke, currently playing inside theaters. Highly recommend that one. I got to see it at this year's Festival de Nouveau Cinema and really appreciate it. And then we're going to hear Jerkin Hendrix with Resurrection from Begonia. You're tuning in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on Sujala 1690 AM here in Montreal.
Medical crisis.
We need money for a doctor now.
Ben, watch us up.
Employment status, blacklisted. But there's still a way out for you. It's the biggest show in the country.
Bloodlust is our birthright! Set it free! Welcome to the Running Man!
People on these games never come back.
I'm not trying to get myself killed, so kiss my ass twice.
Right there.
A little bit of a trailer there for The Running Man, the new film from Edgar Wright, coming to theaters this Friday for your Cinematic Fridays for November 14th. Before that, you heard Chapa Runnin' with Good Luck Babe. Good morning, you're tuned in and listening to At The Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 6090 AM here inside of Montreal. Also out this Friday for your Cinematic Fridays for November the 14th, you have Now You See Me, Now You Don't. This one is the third installment inside of the ongoing series. And then we get another film from Osgood Perkins this year. We have Keeper. This is a limited release film. And now I'm joined by Danny, where we are going to be talking about the 1985 film directed by Elm Klimov, Come and See, from 1985, celebrating a 40-year anniversary. Let's take a listen. So today we are talking about the anniversary review of Come and See from 1985, directed by Elm Klimov. So the story is based onto a true story, or not a true story, but basically the experience of Klimov as a young boy. So the invasion of a village in Belarus by German forces sends a young Flora into the forest to join wary resistance fighters against his family's wishes. There he meets a girl, Glasha, who accompanies him back to his village. On returning home, Flora finds his family and fellow peasants massacred. His continued survival amidst the brutality debris of war becomes increasingly nightmarish, a battle between despair and hope. So basically the film was originally titled Kill Hitler, as we'll probably discuss about the very ending of the film. I should also put out a disclaimer that this will not be an easy review today due to the subject matter of the film dealing with war and the wartime atrocities, more specifically the wartime atrocities committed by the Germans during the Second World War. However, the title went Come and See finally, and it is reference to 6-7-8 inside the Book of Revelations. Describes the breaking of the fourth seal with a pale horse appears with a rider named Death, followed by Hades, Hell. They are given authority over 1/4 of Earth to kill by sword, famine, plague, and wild animals, the fourth and four horsemen of the apocalypse, essentially speaking. So let's discuss a little bit about the thematics of war. So the horrors of war basically is one of the thematics of the film. From an early time, you can see that Flora is, he seems happy to be inside the resistance versus the other soldiers who are somber or and have already seen the horrors of war.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the second scene of the film
Where he was having an argument with his mother, actually. He was saying how he was looking forward to fighting for his people, but his mother was totally against us. Totally against it, I mean. Tried to talk him out of it.
Yeah, it's another thematic of the film where the film touches upon the using the child's perspective to showcase the horrors of war through their eyes. So Flora is young and naive and hasn't really seen, the horrors of the war. I mean, he's basically been playing with his friend, maybe a makeshift war where he finds a rifle, but there is ever a sense of a looming presence where there's like an aerial plane that's being, around them at all times. So definitely the horrors of war are.
The very first scene of the film where he's digging up the rifle with his friend, that's one of the reasons why he was recruited, actually. It was his curiosity of what was going on within his country that got him recruited to fight for his people.
One of the early scenes that we see where Flora actually sees the horrors of war, I think, is seeing the wounded, sick, and helpless, brings in a little bit of a dark reality into Flora's life, even though he is still, it's about patriotism and nationalism. He still sees that. But you don't really, Klimov doesn't need to show the horrors of war and see like the victims right now, because we just hear it inside the background and we can imagine what those victims are going through.
Well, when Flora was recruited and he was asked to stay at a camp with the other soldiers, I mean that even before all the explosions and the shooting occurred, you still got the impression of you still grasped the seriousness of what was going on.
I feel that he doesn't really get a sense of the horrors of war until he meets one of the victims of it, where I think that I'll talk about that when we talk about our next theme right now, which is the loss of innocence. So, as we described, an early scene where our mother is asking her son to kill his sisters, who still has a sense of innocence and naivete and wants to do it for nationalism and patriotism. And you see that scene where Flora is smiling and his sisters are smiling because they don't even understand what's going on, what his mother knows, what's going on.
Well, that's it. I mean, the mother in the movie was one of the first examples of how being in a war zone can put somebody's sanity to the test. We saw that with the mother, and then we saw that with the blonde girl Glasha that Flora runs into, who was mentally unstable. You couldn't help but think. Most probably because of what was going on around them.
So let's talk about the loss of innocence here for the honeymoon phase between Flora and Glasha, even though they do encounter, when the soldiers do run off, they do encounter some of the destruction committed by the Germans. However, I described the honeymoon phase between Flora and Glasha as lost upon returning to his village and seeing the Nazi atrocities of war, seeing his sister items on the ground. Even though he tries to make it seem like, oh yeah, no, it's all fine, and here, let's have some stew that my mom's like been preparing and stuff, and they're probably still around somehow, even though Glasha knows and realizes what's going on. For Glasha, it's seeing the piles of bodies, behind the house, and
Precisely.
for Flora, I feel it's when he sees the burnt victim for the first time, the burnt victim. I don't know if you remember him. It's an image that sticks with you.
Well, absolutely. Well, the burnt victim was the old man at the very beginning, that was warning Flora and the little kid about the seriousness of what was going on. But as like I mentioned before, in the beginning, Flora did not understand the seriousness of what was going on, but seeing that very same man with burnt skin, I mean, that was a severe wake-up call for him. Let's put it that way.
So let's talk about the psychological and physical destruction. So more what is seen off and on screen when the director chooses what to show us. So war films and the atrocities of war, more specifically Holocaust films like Schindler's List or The Zone of Interest, war films. But so those are the Holocaust films like Schindler's List and The Zone of Interest. However, Come and See is dealing with both things. They're dealing with it being a war film, but also it divulges into World War II and the atrocities committed by the Nazis. So it walks the balance of both being a war film and being a Holocaust film alongside at the same time. So war films have to up the ante, I feel, maybe for, a sense of realism or to put yourself inside your shoes of showcasing, the war aspects as they are destruction, both psychological and physical destruction. And more Come and See, we get the psychological and physical destruction. So Schindler's List, I feel, is yes, it's doom, and yes, these were the atrocities, but there is some hope because there were good people like Oskar Schindler during the occupation that helped save the lives. And we're telling his story here because this is the life that we want to tell. Zone of Interest is more of a personal reflection, I feel, at the very end, how the film gets into it. I won't reveal the very ending of the film. So basically, you follow this commandant and how he lived his life alongside his family, and you don't really see the camps, but you hear the camps and the mechanisms of the camps and what's going on. But at the very end of it, I feel that it's like a deep, somber reflection, not only for the audience, but also for the commandant too at the very end. I won't reveal onto how we get there. So let's talk about the psychological and physical destruction of Come and See. So you have the dead belongings. You also have having to sacrifice your family for your own safety. That's when we get to individual versus evil all around too. The destruction of natural environments. So that's what we see inside the first hand with Flora and Glasha as they're the surrounding areas where they've been at the camp there as soon as soldiers leave get destroyed by the Germans. Glasha's seen the bodies and Flora's seen the man who was burned. Both of those are psychological devastations for both of those two.
Well, the psychological impact that the war was having on Flora and Glasha, I mean, the scene where they were going through the bog, I think is a really good example of that because, like we said before, Flora was in denial that his family was murdered, and his sanity was how it put him, I mean, how the negative impact it had to on his sanity was he one of the reasons why he went into the bog is he was convincing himself he could find his family there. One of the things I liked about how this scene was done was the music that was playing in the background. It gave you an impression of what was going on in Flora's head at the time.
Welcome back. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Danny and I continue our discussion and our dive into Come and See from 1985, directed by Elm Klimov. This one is celebrating its 40th anniversary. Like we said at the very beginning, listener discretion is advised for the following content that deals with war thematics, and not only that, but the crimes that were committed by the Nazis during the war as well, too. So listener discretion is advised for the following content.
Yeah, no, it's basically the sound design, too. So the constant ringing inside of Flora's ear that we hear is from the perspective of there were, like, bullets and stuff whizzing by him that he got, he lost his hearing, kind of, as that was happening. You know, he has, like, that constant ringing. And it's definitely a style or a technique that the director, Klimov, uses for the film as well, too. That makes the film authentic in sort of some way. So the Nazi atrocities, so the destruction of the natural environments, destruction of entire villages, leaving their victims to tell their crimes, displacement of people, a comparison to a hell on earth, as we said.
Yeah, precisely. Well, and physical destruction, we could also refer to the destruction of their physical bodies. I mean, you mentioned before how it had a negative impact on Flora's hearing. Later on in the film, even though Flora, as far as you know, was a 15-year-old kid, by the ending of the film, he looked like an old man.
No, essentially speaking, I mean, I guess that we can talk about loss of innocence, too. So when Flora gets his haircut, your hair is so soft as a child's, and then they're, like, cutting his hair to, like, close to a buzz cut. So individual versus evil is another thematic of the film. So taking things that the dead left behind for survival, Flora thinking about Glash's safety and well-being at the very beginning. He isn't thinking about his own, but he's thinking more about Glash as well, too. Individualistic goal of survival in the face of evil. The farmer who helps Flora hide his uniform and his gun around when the Nazis finally descend or when the Germans finally get in. Children involved inside the roundups, too, is another thing to that. So that's another thing, too, when they're inside the building and then the Germans tell them, well, if you want to survive, you guys come out but leave the children inside the building, and then you have to think about, you know, your individualistic tendencies versus your overall collective tendencies of what you know is right and wrong.
Well, throughout the film, Flora, amazingly enough, was always at the right place at the right time, so to speak. Yeah. When he left his family to join the recruit, if he had stayed, he would have died with them. And when he was with the recruit, and he was told by the general, I forget his name, to embark in menial tasks, to stay around while the others fight. He was disappointed by that, but that saved his life as well, because if he had gone to fight with them, he most likely would have died too.
This is like another perspective that you're bringing up right now that I haven't thought about, but it makes an interesting perspective that he survived the war because of every single event that takes place during himself that he uses. Interesting perspective there, Danny. Let's talk about the styles and the techniques a little bit. So it's shot using natural lighting. Character is looking into the camera. I feel that that's done very well. I mean, you can see Flora, the very beginning, smiling, being very naive about the war, and around the very end where he just has a face of horror upon his face at what he's experienced. From the perspective of a child, overhead aerial shots that's used at the beginning of the film, the framing and the movements of the cameras I found were very well done as well, too. Sound design, the constant ringing inside the ear, like you said, too, the score or the soundtrack to the film as well, too, is very well done as well, too. We get now to the legacy of this anniversary review of Come and See, celebrating its 40th anniversary. The film is directed by Elm Klimov. And now we're going to get to the ending of the film. So, like I said at the very beginning, listener discretion is advised for the following content because it deals with war and it also deals with the World War II and the Nazi atrocities. So if you don't want to hear about this, please choose another episode of At the Movies to listen to. If you haven't seen Come and See yet, and you're okay with the subject matter of the film, even though it is a difficult watch, I highly recommend the film. I find that it is an excellent film about, from a child's perspective, what they go through during the war. So let's talk about the legacy of the film. So, like I said, Come and See was not the original title of the film. The film was called Kill Hitler. So not an easy watch by any standard. Come and See is recognized as a film that has a historical and cultural significance that one is easily changed by the end of the film. So what are your thoughts? Were you changed by this film inside some way after viewing it, Danny?
Well, the one scene in the film that made me more angry than anything was when the Nazis were burning the houses down, and one Nazi was dragging some woman by her hair, and they were just torturing people, and as they were torturing people, they were laughing and having fun and partying, and that in itself made me furious because I thought to myself, how anybody could take so much pleasure out of inflicting so much misery on other people, I just don't understand, and I don't want to understand.
Okay. So definitely there's a bunch of scenes that will stay with me, that I will remember from this film. More specifically, the horrors of the war. So the scene, the burnt victim, the charred victim, the houses, like you said. Just Flora's face inside general during certain scenes, definitely. But now we gotta talk about the ending of the film. So basically, what happens at the ending of the film is that Flora is faced upon this picture of Hitler that is inside of a puddle of water. And then this is the first time that he actually uses his gun. And he starts shooting his gun at the portrait of Hitler, the person who started all of this madness. But as he's doing that, you get to see some archival footage of Hitler, but instead of it going inside of chronological order, it goes back. So it goes back. You still see Flora shooting, and then it goes back. So it goes all the way back up until Hitler when he was a baby, right?
Hitler, when he was a baby, his mother was holding him in the picture.
Yeah. And what can we describe that picture as? Even though we know that it's Hitler, right? There's some sense of like innocence to it because, yeah.
Was gonna say, and this is not easy for me to say either. It's the baby picture of Hitler is just a good example of how we all start out innocent.
Yeah. We all start off with a sense of innocence and then we go our own ways and take our own paths and choose the right and the wrong. We know right now which path Hitler chose, right? Like the evil path of history, to be on the wrong side of history. But, I feel that that's what the film is trying to get at, that, even though people are inherently evil sometimes, there is a sense that there is like this one period inside their life when there is an innocence or a naivete where they know nothing but an innocence from childhood and how that innocence can get shattered. So I don't know how Hitler's innocence was shattered, but it might have been
Well,
his childhood at some point. We know for Flora, his innocence was shattered during his time as a soldier.
Precisely. Yeah, with I mean, not going to get too much into details about Hitler's life history, and I mean, I'm never going to excuse what Hitler did, but from what I read, Hitler's father did used to beat him at a child, beat him as a child. There was apparently one time where Hitler's father nearly beat him to death.
So, our thoughts about Come and See all these years later, I feel that it's really an important film that people need to see about the horrors of war if you can withstand it, because it is definitely a difficult watch. Probably not a watch that I'll be revisiting anytime soon. I mean, of these films that I mentioned, like Schindler's List and The Zone of Interest, are not films that you pop in every single month and you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch it, but you know, it's more of like a deep-seated consciousness or a reflection upon history, maybe so that history doesn't repeat itself, that you understand that period inside of history and what happened so that it never happens again, or that when you see that slowly trickling in again, you can be like, oh, well, we saw how evil it was the last time, that we shouldn't be going down that path again.
Precisely. Well, the film in itself was a good was both a good lesson in history and a rude awakening at the same time, and a rude awakening in regards to what the Jewish people during World War II really went through.
Okay, so I think that we're going to leave our review there. Come and See is available on YouTube and wherever you rent your movies from. It is free on YouTube, so you'll be able to watch it there. We definitely recommend viewer discretion as advised for the film since it deals with a heavy topic and the subject matter. All right, Danny, let's go and find out what our next anniversary review film will be for next week. So on to next week's show, I'm giving you the option. You can either go with Charlie Chaplin's The Gold Rush, or we can go with Milos Forman's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. What are we going with?
Oh my God, wow,
We're definitely gonna have to do both.
that's a tough choice. You know, as much as I love Charlie Chaplin, let's go with Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay, perfect. So on to next week's episode, Daddy and I will be reviewing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of At the Movies. Thank you, Danny, once again for joining me for this episode.
Oh, it's my pleasure for me, and I'm just gonna finish off by saying it was a good movie, not easy to watch. The actor who played Flora, I think, did a very good job, and it's even after 40 years, thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely. People have commented onto this is like one of the best child performances that they've seen inside of a film. It's noted as that.
As it should be.